roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty for the Monday show here on Monday, August 16th. Doing the recording a little bit early, but we wanted to get ahead of it so we can get this in the hands of most people of our worldwide audience. Lots to discuss today. Bellator 264 took place on Friday. PFL 2021, week 7, that's how it's officially referred to. It also took place on the same night, for crying out loud. Plus, lots of news to discuss in the world of mixed martial arts, including some really sad news when it comes to women's MMA, and more specifically Paige VanZant, something that Goz had alerted to me to earlier today. Really sad to hear what she's been going through. And, of course, Jake Paul at it again. He's got a hit list with like 13 names on it. Got to bring him up. Chad Mendez telling us, not us specifically, but John Morgan, our colleague, why he decided to go to bare knuckle instead of MMA. Basically, he kept it simple. MMA is just more dangerous, and that's kind of what helped him convince his wife. The longtime WEC and UFC featherweight is back. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. We're going to be with you here a little early for this Monday episode, but we're going to be with you here for a while, talking about this great sport of mixed martial arts. Lots to discuss. We'll start with the recaps of the big events from this past Friday. Heck Goes, I wasn't even sure we had to go away for 10 seconds, did we? That's more of a... Oh, it is? Okay. I thought that ties in everything. We got the audio world and the video world. They come together, so there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to this show. But here we go. Let's talk some mixed martial arts. All right, Goes, flip a coin. PFL, Bellator. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with PFL.
All right. PFL, week... No, 2021, week 7. This is the first week of the playoffs, and it's basically straight to the semifinals. There were no quarterfinals and semifinals in one night. There were no quarterfinals at all. It was just semifinals. Remember, only four fighters from each division, each weight class, moved to these playoffs. Now, I think some of it had to do with the fact that, I'm pretty positive from what I've read and heard. It had to do with the pandemic. Just when they were forecasting at the beginning of the year what the year might look like, getting a commission to approve the two fights in one night was just going to be a lot, with the sport slowly coming back and so many moving parts. At the same time, you got alternates, you know, and remember, when they first started dealing with all this madness, you had like 17-day quarantines. What they wanted to do was they wanted to basically try something different. They even brought up the finals of the playoffs up a few months, from December 31st to October 27th. So that's why it's kind of been a little bit of a different schedule. And I hope it doesn't throw people off, but Roy McDonald is out, for example, in the main event. He lost to Ray Cooper. That's it. There was no second fight. There was no double elimination. He's out. He's not competing for $1 million. Ray Cooper is. Congratulations to him. But, yeah, there was no, well, now who does Ray Cooper fight again? None of that. And they may bring that back next year. We'll see. But I think PFL basically went with a different type of a schedule, and they made the best decisions possible when they started coming up with the season. So that's why that took place the way it did. So four welterweights fought. Ray Cooper defeated Roy McDonald, and Magomed Karimov defeated Sadibou C. the finals on October 27th in Florida, not at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Damn it. The finals will involve Cooper versus Magomed Karamov. Ghost, let's start off with Magomed Karamov. He defeated Sadibusi. Three-round decision. Were you impressed? Do you think him and Cooper are the two best welterweights and that they should meet in the finals?
Yeah, I think they are. They're the thing is, you kind of just expected that to happen. I want to say with Sabadu, like he's been in this position before, but I don't want to say he's one-dimensional. He's a good fighter, but we all kind of know what his kryptonite is, right? And so it was to be expected. But the thing is, the guy can be explosive from time to time, and I'll be one of the first to admit I actually bet on him because I think he's a decent fighter, but the odds wasn't really dictating that. I actually bet Sabadu. It didn't work out, but I don't know what they're going to do next year because I think he's just to that point where he's proven maybe this just isn't for him.
That one kick you were telling me about that I missed, it was like it's so sad that one move can just completely stifle your whole round. You know, no answer for that. And at the same time, you can't blame Magomed Karamov. You can blame more C for going there, you know, and allowing, whether it was a kick, a knee, tripping over your own 2 feet, slipping on a banana peel, whatever. It was his fault, and it just takes the wind out of a fight. It takes the air out of a fight sometimes. There's so many strikers that make it very difficult for the wrestler to take them down, and then it becomes a little bit more of a striking match. It's not that I'm pro kickboxing, pro boxing. Most fans are, but I just want to see the fight contested in different aspects of MMA, and the Dagestani fighters, the Russian fighters, a lot of the fighters from Eastern Europe are just really, really good at when they get you down, that's it. Cancel for Christmas, 10-9. You better pray it's not a 10-8. And that's exactly what happened. I'm starting to see that even though a lot of strikers are very difficult to take down or keep down, it's because they work at it, Goes. And to me, there are certain fighters that just look like they don't even work at it. You know, right away they get taken down and they'll close their guard. And then their motions and getting up, they just don't appear to be there, you know. And I don't know. It's a little bit disappointing. Like, Sadibusi wasn't supposed to be there. He was the number five guy. It was Jao Saffarino. So I'm not saying that he had, let's say, the best possible scenario. But still, you know, I don't know. It was a little bit of a boring fight, to tell you the truth. I just felt like it wasn't Magomed Karamov's fault. His opposition just wasn't to his level. And that's that, you know, because PFL can't control that. You can't blame the PFL, the matchmaking, nothing like that. It was out of their hands. This was the matchup, and that was that. But, you know, it sucked because it's almost like a free pass to $1 million.
Well, you start off the fight with your gas tank at full. And if you're Sabadu, you're thinking, I just got to be patient. I got to stay low and hit him with my best shot. And what made me so frustrated was the kick that he threw was just, it was lazy, you know? Crazy. Like, that's the first thing that you got to know is this dude's dying for you to do that. And you did it. You gave it to him, and he took you down. And some guys can get back up, but he couldn't. And so by then, now you look at, all right, well, I made it through the round. I can restart at the beginning of round two. But that gas tank's not where it needs to be anymore. This is drained. You know, that dude was on top of you, beating on you for that whole round. It's not like you're Jose Aldo or someone like that, right, that's got these savage kicks. It was just, I think it's one that he looks back on and goes, man, why did I throw that? You know, I should have put this guy in a tough spot thinking, how am I going to get him down? What do I need to do to get him down? Instead, he kind of gave him a free pass, and that's what was so frustrating about that fight.
It's literally the equivalent of cheating on your girlfriend or wife and getting caught because you took the other party, your side piece, to you and your girlfriend's favorite restaurant, which maybe even happens to have one of your girlfriend's relatives working there. What did you expect? Of course you were going to get caught, you know? Her family owns it or works there. She knows that you guys go there a lot, and you were dumb enough to take your side piece there. I mean, it's like I say, I just think that there's so many welterweights that would kill for to be in this type of a position, you know, and battle it out and make the other person, I don't know, struggle a little bit for the win. That didn't take place at all. I don't even want to spend more time talking about it, to tell you the truth. This is a rematch of 2018, I believe, is when Magomed Kerimov defeated Ray Cooper with the guillotine. So Ray Cooper is going to be chomping at the bit. And Ray Cooper, I just can't say enough about this guy, goes, Rory McDonald, as you know, is just good everywhere. You might even say he's great everywhere. He's not the greatest in anything, but he's above average, something between good and great at pretty much every aspect of MMA. But Ray Cooper actually made it look a little easier than I thought, you know, this fight would go. Ray Cooper is really underappreciated. He just didn't get talked about as much. I'm going to give this guy a serious look when I'm putting together the rankings for this week. We don't have as much to talk about because UFC wasn't involved. Most rankings involve UFC fighters. But there are some PFL guys and Bellator guys and gals that not only are ranked, but they do get considered. They are, you know, they're on the radar. Cooper's definitely one of them, especially with this win. But I really don't think it was so much McDonald not fighting well. I think Cooper's just really, really a good fighter, man. I mean, when he wants to take you down, he puts everything into his wrestling. He seems to have addressed his cardio. He hits hard. He's focused as heck. That guy's intense, you know. Say what you will, you know, he doesn't look like the type of guy that, you know, you want to go bowling with or to a football game. He just doesn't talk much. It seems like he only eats, breathes, and sleeps.
It depends. If you're going to a Rams Charger game, you might want to take him with you.
You might want to take him to that, yeah. But he got the job done, man. Kudos to Ray Cooper, his whole family, the little entourage that they managed to bring to Hollywood, Florida. I don't know. I've really, really taken a liking to this guy. He's one of my favorite PFL fighters.
Mm-hmm. He, I think in that fight, I think Rory McDonald was taken back at just how dedicated Ray was to everything he was trying to do. Like, he had zero fear. And I know every fighter in the world's going to say that going into a fight, but you can tell when guys are tentative. And Ray Cooper wasn't. From the beginning, it was him. He said, I'm going to put my game plan to work. And Rory just had no answers for him. And you're right about Ray Cooper. He is undervalued in our sport. Part of it's his fault because he doesn't really say much. But after a while, your performances in the cage are going to speak for themselves. And he's in the position to do this again. And you're right. It's kind of like, at first you kind of think like, hey, Ray Cooper's a good guy for the PFL. But I think this last fight kind of proved, no, he's a good fighter for MMA. Like, it's welterweights overall. He is a good fighter. He really is. And he's somebody that I think the PFL is going to have to try and protect. But yeah, great performance for him. And Rory McDonald, I'm going to share with you, George, a text I got from one of our listeners, Gally from Toronto. And I thought it was a great question, but he said, with Pettis, McDonald, Verdum, they all went 1-5 when you think about it. And so what he was asking was, do you think the PFL, in your opinion, who benefited more from their signings? Was it the PFL taking the risk and saying, hey, we're trying to stack our division? But just to show you how talented it already was, look what these guys did to some of these new signings. Or do you think the UFC is sitting back going, man, we got rid of some dead weight or Bellator? And I started thinking about it. Like, if I'm Ray Sefo, I don't know how I look at that situation. I really don't. Because he's right. 1-5 is probably not great. But Rory McDonald was fun. I tuned in to PFL this year more because Rory McDonald was there. It just so happens that guys like Ray Cooper won me over in the process. I tuned in to see Anthony Pettis, but right. Clay Pollard won me over.
Right.
So it is really, really weird, man. But the PFL is really, really making a move, I think, on Bellator.
Well, I'm sure Gally wants an answer, But I can't give him one because I don't see why both can't be right. I think PFL was probably – I think PFL saw the benefits in their marketing, you know, especially now that they got to dip their toe in the big ESPN as well as ESPN2. And to come in with either that Verdum name, Pettis name, McDonald name, those names have value. So it promoted well for them, but it also put their guys over, you know. Now, would they have preferred that all three make it to the finals? I don't know. I don't know if the perfect scenario is all three or maybe two of the three. Because the lesson in, hey, look, our guys are pretty good was in the fact that their free agents lost. Now, it also cost them a lot of money for those free agents to come over. But like I say, I think there was some benefits to them even coming over and losing. I think it would have been a hybrid of the two. Maybe two of them win when one of them loses. With Verdum, I thought he lost the fight. I'll be honest with you. To Fajeda, the big dude, it getting overturned, like, it shouldn't have, I don't think. But it did. And then he got injured. So now you have, what, McDonald and Pettis. Pettis fought well in the second fight. It was exciting. But he came up a bit short. I think he's a little bit of Sad Debussy in a way, except he's got a better ground game from the bottom. But the ground game from the bottom just doesn't seem to come into play as much as it used to. So it's almost like that skill is nice to have in your back pocket if you can come up against someone that can defend it. But most people are defending that position. And with Roy McDonald, I thought he got robbed against Tabao. So he could have easily been 2-1. And against Ray Cooper, look, he's came up against the biggest force in all of PFL, you know, or maybe one of the top two or three forces in all of PFL. I think both parties won. The free agents got some money. That's why Tito Ortiz is going to get a lot of money to fight, you know, Anderson Silva. And that's why a lot of these fighters, they're just marketable. They put their names out there at the right time, and they'll just forever be super famous and super valuable to a promotion. Let's talk about the lightweight division. The lightweight division was also controversial. I mean, not that the welterweight division wasn't controversial. The decisions were fair, but the Clay Collard fight that you brought up, how did that dude lose? I thought he won clearly two rounds and then he lost one round and that was it. So it's not like I can present too much of an argument over, well, in this round, this or that. I just thought he won rounds one and two clearly and lost round three. The judges didn't see it that way. And so now that Rashman Fio is moving on to the finals, and it sucks because I kind of was rooting for Collard because of the Pettis thing, because of his brother, you know, that sad story. I have nothing against Rashman Fio. Probably a nice guy. I think he's got an interesting story as well. He was working, cleaning offices. And then he comes and, you know, he's part of the PFL and now he's going to be fighting for $1 million. I'm not hating on it, but I just thought the right call would have been for Clay Collard to get that decision. There was a couple controversial decisions this week and that was one of them.
Yeah, the other one being in Bellator. But overall, like week to week, we are starting. Like, I'm one of those guys that kind of sticks up for the judges. I get it. Every now and again, they do mess up. But for the most part, it's pretty decent. But yeah, we're starting to have kind of a problem here when you look at the overall landscape of what happens in MMA. Just because it doesn't happen in big fights doesn't mean there's not a lot on the line, right? Look what this is going to do to Clay Collard. You know, it's $1 million that he lost out on when you think about it.
At least $200,000. The second place gets $200,000. So at least $200,000. Because even if he lost in the finals, he'd get $200,000. So yeah, it's a very costly loss for him.
Very costly. And it's really starting to become an issue, but I thought Clay won. I thought the stats are support it. If you look at the decisions that people were throwing out, I think even on the broadcast, right? I think they all had all but one. I think had Clay Collard. So I mean, man, we're not all.
I think it was a shutout. You talking about Randy Kenny and the formula, the algorithm?
Yeah.
And I think there's the fan, but I thought they were all 4-0 for Collard.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of hard to overlook.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do? You can't change the decision. That's that. And I've almost come to expect one bad decision per card, and I've almost come to decide that if that's what we get, okay, whoo, let's move on, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, it's almost like we now only get mad at the second offense, the second terrible offense. And there was an offense to Bellator, but that's not the same card as PFL. But at PFL, this was one that was costly. You know, congrats to Rosh Manfio. I just don't think he should be there. Loic Radziboff defeated Alex Martinez. PFL was all decisions, dude. You know, we were talking about this whole, what do we have on? Where's the volume going to be? Are you going to switch back and forth? The fighting wasn't good enough for me to come in here and tell you that I enjoyed all 60 minutes of fighting. 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes for those semifinals. I didn't really enjoy that as much. There were moments, but I guess I'm looking for a little bit more, and I wasn't getting it. Bellator on the – I wound up actually having Bellator on the volume a little bit more than PFL than I thought I would. I did, come main event time, manage to, you know, play with both, and so both got volume time. Congrats to Gegard Mousasi, by the way. We'll get to him in a second. But, like, are you even excited about Loic Radziboff against Rosh Manfio? Mm-hmm. Magomed Kerimov versus Ray Cooper, I am. A lot of it has to do with Cooper. Magomed Kerimov's a good fighter. They fought once before, but I'm not that excited for the lightweight fight. I guess I would have been more excited for a Pettis-Collard final, the rematch, Ooh. Or Pettis versus Schulte, the two-time winner versus the highly coveted free agent, like some bit of a story, you know, versus what we're getting.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way. I'm still going to tune in, but yeah, there could have been a little bit better storylines, and it sucks that, in my opinion, the judges took that away from us.
You know, you almost want to say it's almost like we're getting the Bucks versus the Suns. But to be fair, they got Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the other side's got, you know, Chris Paul and what's his face? What's homeboy's name? Devin Booker? Yeah. So they got exciting players. It's just that the franchises aren't really – they haven't jumped out at you over the years like the traditional powerhouses. So it's probably a bad example. But I'm talking about as far as, like, the value of a franchise – you know, the bigger ones, obviously, you know, the Lakers and of late the Warriors, probably Brooklyn Nets, you know, like the TV ratings gold is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
All right, so the only other fights I guess I want to go over for PFL, I'll just blast through these real fast. On the undercard, Gleison Tibau defeated Mike Terrell. Olivier Aubin-Mercier defeated Daryl Horcher. By the way, thank you for that arm triangle. Or excuse me, the triangle choke, Gleason. That was like one of a few finishes there. Brett Cooper defeated Tyler Hill. Magomed Umalatov defeated Leandro Silva. Michael Lombardo defeated Kieran Bowen. And Elvin Espinoza defeated Hopton Stewart. Hey, you know what else? Russians are going to hate me, but I got to say this. Salute to the Russians. They're tough. They got great cardio. They're strong as oxen, but their fight strategy, I guess you can't blame them, but I almost feel like I'm in the 1990s again where Mark Coleman and Mark Kerr and Dan Severn, they'll take you down and they'll just bat, 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 slap you around and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that's what they're doing. And it's all right, man, but I don't know. It's not that exciting to me.
They're good at it. I mean, that's all that it comes down to. I don't know. I mean, maybe the fact that they're Russian plays a part in it. Like, if they had more, like,
you're right. It's not. It doesn't have to do with Russia. Lance Palmer did the same thing. He's an American. He won two titles along the way. The same.
Yeah, style. But what I'm saying is, if it was somebody who spoke English, right, and had like a personality that you could gravitate to, like Lance Palmer, yeah, he fights that way. But he also talks a lot of smack. You know, he can from time to time. He's a little bit of a badass. So maybe that would help. But the fact that we don't really hear much from them, and on top of it, it's kind of the same game plan. I understand where you're coming from. But, hey, man, that's just an advantage. You know, that guy worked that hard his whole life to have that advantage. And it's not like in mixed martial arts, you can't say, well, you're not allowed to fight the takedown. You're not allowed to punch him in the face. You're allowed to do all that shit. He's just better at what he does than you are what you do.
And he's probably
that's the beauty of the sport.
He's probably not taking head trauma. So good for them, honestly. I guess take a lesson from Habib. God, Habib was so charming in terms of he learned English. He learned slang. He learned how to trash talk. He wasn't the best at any of them, but he mixed it up enough, you know, along with, I don't know, man. You know, the little bit of striking that came along the way. I really enjoyed watching Habib fight, especially towards the end. Early on, I was like, okay, who's this guy? You know, but he did manage to make things exciting. I think he just put the work in on all ends. Social media. I've told a lot of these fighters that don't speak English, it's not an excuse because you can still go to social media and get creative in ways there. You know, just find a way. Andrei Arlovsky kind of found his way. You know what I mean? He was dominant for a while, but the reason he's been around for a long time is he's durable. He wins fights. But I think people wound up gravitating to him. He learned a little bit of English. He was a prankster. And I don't know. But I think that's one of the realizations I came to this weekend. All right. But look, that's done. PFL, they come back October 27th. They made an announcement that it'll be in Hollywood, Florida. And congrats to all the winners. You know, you're going to be fighting for life-changing money. So, salute. Bellator 264 took place. Gegard Mousasi defeated John Salter in the main event. He defeated him with some ground and pound in round three. Salter had a nice first round, but I don't know. I thought this fight was – I just thought it was going to be a little more exciting. But I got my finish, and that was good. Andrei Korshkov and Sabah Hamasi – excuse me. That was the co-main event. Korshkov won a decision there. Rafian Stotts defeated Magomed Magomedov. And now this fight had two wrestlers, but now I'm going to contradict myself. I actually enjoyed it. Now, a lot of it had to do with, I think I was pulling for Rafian Stotts. I had bet Rafian Stotts. So maybe that's what made it a little bit more exciting, even though both guys are very, very good wrestlers. I just thought the stakes were so high. You had a guy with, you know, I want to get you the correct records here. I know they both had one losses, but okay, you had a 16-1 guy against an 18-1 guy. That's, you know, and knowing that the winner could possibly get Sergio Pettis, that got me excited.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a decent fight. It was a little bit surprising, to be honest. I didn't know that Stotts comes from a good camp, so you know he's going to be prepared, but I thought he fought one of his best fights. Yeah. So I was entertained by it. I thought it was good. The main event. Are we going in order? Or?
Oh yeah, sorry. Those were the three big fights. I'll probably summarize the other ones, but you can concentrate on any of these three: the Korshkov win, the Stotts win, or the Mousasi win. Take a choice.
It's weird because I expected more out of that Mousasi fight, but it wasn't the end of the world, and it had a stoppage. But there was a certain point where you could just tell Salter probably wasn't going to have enough to win that night. And then with Mousasi, it's weird. He puts us in the situation where, like, I don't want to say he shows holes, but he shows that guys can take the fight to him. Then he figures out how to solve it. But he doesn't leave you with that impression that, oh, my God, you know, who's next? This dude's unstoppable. You don't have that feeling. You just have the feeling that we have a pretty good fighter at the top, but he's beatable.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Maybe that's what it is there isn't a who's next moment. I feel terrible coming down on Bellator because they're trying. I could see that they're innovating. They do invest money in certain spots, but I'll give you an example. I wasn't overly enthused about the Fedor Timothy Johnson announcement. Somebody pointed out to me, and if they want to volunteer who they are, that's fine. But I've also come to the conclusion Jen Brown doesn't do it for me as a host. Josh has gotten better. You know, we all remember him from the UFC, good-looking kid, and he's very good at engaging Jen. And in this case, Austin Vanderford was the guest co-host. But that part, I guess when it is Chael, maybe it has a little bit more energy, or it's just more interesting. Maybe I think that might be the best word. Mauro Ranallo definitely brings it, and Big John just adds a lot because he knows he's learned how to commentate. And he adds the rules and the regulations, that aspect of it all. But you're right, Goz. Stotts Magomedov was more exciting because we knew that something was happening. It's a division that has a lot of talent. There's a subplot of, if Stotts wins, will he fight his teammate? Magomedov is the guy that beat Jan. Jan's the guy to beat Magomedov. See, right away, you know, that guy's no joke. You know, so high stakes, that fight made it interesting. But then you get to Korshkov and Omassi and like, okay, well, what are they doing? Like, what are we going to do with welterweight? Like, welterweight was popping for a while, but, you know, Daly teased us with a retirement. MVP sometimes takes time off. McDonald left. So is Korshkov back? You know, I don't know. Even Korshkov, he had a long layoff as well. And then we get to the middleweight, and I'm sorry. I know Salter has a great record, and he finishes almost everybody. He probably did deserve to be there, but it's not the murderer's row that I'm used to with the UFC, where a fight like Hall and Strickland has a lot going on for it, and those guys are probably like not even in the top 10. They're looking into the top 10. They're like 11 and 12, or maybe they're 8 and 9. I don't know, but they're still looking to see, can we get to Whitaker and Izzy and Cannonier and Gastelum and Derek Brunson and all those other cats. You know, Austin Vanderford, it's not his fault. He's undefeated. He's Paige Van Zandt's boo. He deserves to get in there. He's got a lot of Bellator wins. But are we excited for Musasi? Musasi didn't even help himself by going, I don't even know any of the middleweights over at Bellator. So it's like there's so many things that are happening all at one time that, oh, man, I just want to pull what little hair I have left from my head.
I'm excited about Musasi and Austin Vanderford, but it's not because like a title's on the line or anything like that. I just think it's going to be a pretty decent fight. But other than that, I could care less that there's a belt on the line. Because to me, it's not going to prove anything. You know, like no disrespect to Musasi, but I think we just all know that the possibility of him being the best middleweight in the world, that's just not happening. And even if Austin comes in and destroys him, I still wouldn't feel like maybe Austin's that guy. It's not that same feeling that you have with McKee where you're like, hey, man, this guy might have something for everyone else.
Right.
So it's just this odd feeling of you. I guess you have to take it for what it is. You know, these moments with Bellator and PFL. Maybe you just got to sit back, take the media hat off, whatever, sit back, grab a beer and a hot dog, and just go, man, that was a good fight. Maybe you look at it that way. And just be entertained that way. But I think as Americans, and I know not all of you that listen to this podcast are Americans, but one of the things that made Pride successful was they just sat back. They didn't really care much about rankings. Just sat back and said, give us good fights. Give us interesting fights. Here in the United States, we're obsessed with who is the best. Who is number one? I want to knock on my buddy's door and go, haha, my team rules. Your team sucks. And sometimes we can almost not give a shit about how good the game is or whatever. We just want to know who's the best. And I think when you do that with Bellator and PFL, it's not going to work out for you. I think you have to take it for what it is and just enjoy. If you enjoy fighting, there's going to be good fights. You know, not every single time, but there will be. Don't worry about who the guy at the end of the day is going to be left with the belt and is he the greatest of all time. It's probably not going to happen, but you might get entertained along the way.
That's why I keep saying less fight cards, more good fighters per card.
Strike Force.
That to me should be the key to Bellator. It's probably not their business model. I heard they're profitable and do well, but geez, there must be another part of the world that's clicking in or obsessing over this because I'm not. Now, look, when they said Phil Davis versus Yoel Romero, I'm like, well, that's from left field, but fuck yeah, I'm in. That's two popular fighters that have been world champions in different organizations. Davis is a former Bellator light heavyweight champion. Yoel Romero's a former Strikeforce light heavyweight champion. Yoel Romero's more known as a UFC middleweight, and Phil Davis is maybe more well-known. Sorry, Romero as a UFC middleweight, Davis as a UFC light heavyweight. But they are where they are, and I like that matchup. So I can't completely, you know, take a turd on them because I really like that. And I really like the possibility of Stotts versus Pettis. And I really like the possibility of Coker warming up to a Bellator Grand Prix, you know, in the bantamweight division. I think that that would benefit them a lot because, look, they got Pettis, Archuleta, Mix, Patchy Mix, Magomedov, the guy that just lost to Stotts, Leandro Higo, James Gallagher, Josh Hill.
And you can pick up some here and there.
Let's say, but you know, there's probably a few others that I might have missed out, but that's a good number right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That would be fun. It's always fun to have something out of the ordinary going on, and that's kind of Bellator's thing is the Grand Prix.
It helped that McKee and Pitbull both had certain types of personalities. Pitbull's just so serious, but he's a gangster because of his belts, and then McKee is just so cool and suave and undefeated and. You know, hopefully a bantamweight Grand Prix can also set something up like that, you know, for the finals. I'm not sure, but I think that's something they should pursue. And I think they should have less cards and just more of their talent frequently fighting. I don't want to hear about guys that haven't been able to get fights with that many fight cards because I don't know. Either I got to bet more on these fights or there's just some that are driving me nuts. And guess what? Bare knuckle and boxing aren't the answer. I'm not shitting on wrestling for sure. I watched the Olympic wrestling was pretty amazing. Both Greco-Roman, you know, I was talking 1 week about Miriam Lopez, the Cuban guy that had won 4 gold medals in Greco-Roman, the super heavyweight division. And then, you know, we had Gable Stevenson and David Taylor and men's freestyle and Tamara Minsaw for the women's side, first black female to ever win a wrestling medal. Pretty amazing there. But, and I would say the same for jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu can be very exciting, especially when it involves certain names. Goes and I had a blast over at the event there that had WEC, Pride, Strikeforce, and UFC. What was that event called when they grappled?
Quintet.
Quintet was awesome, man. James Kraus and Jay-Z Cavalcante and Jake Shields and
Glover Teixeira.
There were so many great fighters that went in there, grappled, and you know, I would go back to something like that every month if they had it. So you got to mix in a little bit of that name, and the fighters have to help themselves up as well, building up that name. So again, it has nothing to do with the ground fighting or the striking fighting. I'm still MMA first. There's times where I'm look at the belt, the bare knuckle, I'm like, oh, I want to see these two, but the rest I'm not as excited about. Or there's times where I see boxing and I'm like, I'll skip a couple. So it has nothing to do with stand-up versus ground fighting. It just has to do with the personalities. They have to help sell me on it. Pacquiao, I know he's past his prime, but the balls on that guy to take on Errol Spence. Since the announcement, Errol Spence has backed out. Pacquiao's still going to fight. But just to do that at age 41, to test himself like that against a young in his prime talent like Errol Spence, that to me is something that makes me want to like fork over my dough and spend time watching.
We still haven't really figured out who Errol Spence is, right? Since the accident, like he came back from a pretty bad accident,
he's won since then.
He did, and it was a good opponent, but. Long term, right? We got to figure out just where he's at. But you're right. Manny Pacquiao at his age, taking anybody even remotely in that category is pretty damn impressive. But we'll see.
I want to see Spence Tate fight Bud Crawford, to be honest.
Everybody does.
Yeah. That just has to happen. But, you know, you got Top Rank and you got whatever Eddie Hearn's outfit's called. Golden Boy, there's just so many of those that don't want to do business with themselves, and it's unfortunate, you know, but I'm really starting to realize that it's the personality and the matchup that makes me interested. I like Oscar De La Hoya, 1992 Olympic gold medalist, SoCal guy who won a lot of titles, came through, came up short against Pacquiao, Trinidad, Mayweather. Great fighters. But other than that, pretty much smashed everyone else. Versus Vitor Belfort, a guy that amazed us with his hands early on, you know, and still has gas in the tank, just doesn't want to wrestle and do jiu-jitsu anymore. But he's got some hands, you know, or at least had some hands. I don't know if he still had them. But De La Hoya has been partying for a good 15, 20 years. Can he get all that rust off and fight a guy that is 5 years younger than him and most recently fought 3 years ago? De La Hoya hasn't fought since 2008, I think. He retired on the stool against Manny Pacquiao. That's two big things. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying usually a pro boxer against an MMA guy, that ain't going to go too well. Thank you, Anderson Silva, by the way, for at least proving we have a pulse, a heartbeat, you know, in that department. But it really, that shouldn't happen. But yet, that's an intriguing matchup. Here's my money. Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley's a wrestler. He just hammered a wrestler. But this wrestler has hands. He's KO'd people. He's more athletic, faster. He's not younger than Ben Askren. Woodley's older. I don't know. I just feel like I think it's something Jake Paul hasn't seen yet. Therefore, I'm intrigued. You know what I mean? Plus, they kind of sold it with when Woodley went back there to watch the wrapping of the hands. They kind of got into it. So there's a little bit of trash talk built up there. Here's my money. You see what I'm saying? There's certain matchups. Here's my money. I have no problem with them.
Mm-hmm. That one in particular, I mean, I think Jake Paul made a good point. Really, if you go back and you watch his fights, he hasn't really been hit at all. Like, people say, hey, his hands are pretty decent. His defense ain't that bad either. The thing with Tyron Woodley is, I think if we all knew Tyron Woodley was going to put his foot on the gas, then I think we all have no problem picking Tyron Woodley to win that fight. But it just depends. Does he have that in him? Like, is he sick to his stomach the way most MMA fans are, where they're like, somebody needs to teach this kid a lesson in boxing? Does he have that? Then I'll pick Tyron Woodley all day. But if Tyron Woodley's just showing up because there's money on the line and he feels, I've been doing this a long time, I should have no problems, that's a little bit tougher, man. I don't know that you could do that. But I'm actually going to tune into this. Somehow Jake Paul's won me over. He's won me over. I actually get a kick out of him now.
Me too. Are you going to tune into Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz in boxing?
Nah. That does nothing for me. Props to Anderson Silva and what he did with Chavez Jr. But yeah. Tito Ortiz is just – I get it. He was a wrestler, and I believe that he did work on his boxing and develop a decent defense, but it was never good. It was never like if you look at Chad Mendes, right, he was known for his wrestling, but he developed quick hands and movement. Like, it was all a combination. It was all blended together. He had great defense. He had a good movement. He would throw. He had good balance. Tito doesn't really do any of that. Like, I don't really care about this fight. It proves nothing.
Let's talk about a really serious subject here. Paige VanZant. After she fought Rachel Ostovich, she was so disappointed, she ran out of the bare knuckle ring and straight to the parking lot. Upset, crying. But what we didn't know was that she actually, this loss pushed her to the brink of thinking about wanting to kill herself. What did you think when you heard that?
I felt bad because outside of fighting, anything that I've ever known of Paige VanZant has always been pretty positive. You know, the things that she's accomplished in life. Anytime we've ever interviewed her or people talk to her, I didn't ever get that feeling of like, God, I hope she gets her ass kicked or anything like that. She seems to appreciate what she does have. And she's tough. She really, really is tough. Like, you would think if everything was true, what people said about her, she's just a pretty face. I've seen that face absolutely bludgeoned with blood all over, and she would not stop coming forward. She's a tough girl. I felt bad that her frustration got to that level. You know, one of the things she pointed out was she's married to Austin. Austin keeps winning, she keeps losing. I get that, man. I mean, that's really, really difficult. I just hope that she gets the proper help, whether it's friends, family, a healthcare professional, that can kind of put her in the right place right now, because it's really tough to say, but I think she should be proud of what she's been able to accomplish and where she's done it, where she's fought. There's a lot of fighters that fight their entire life and never make it to the UFC, let alone get a win. You know what I mean? She's accomplished some pretty cool things in her sport, and I think she's decent. She's not the greatest fighter on the planet, but there's a very small amount of fighters in mixed martial arts that you really look at and say, those guys stand out above everyone else. That's a really select group. I think she should be proud of the things that she accomplished, and I hope there's a way that she'll come around and realize that.
Don't most of us, including Austin, still consider her the A side of that relationship? Like, you know, you can even joke and call him Mr. Van Zandt or whatever. She's right. He's winning and she isn't. But she's just so popular that I think what she just matters more, you know, not as humans, as sportsmen.
He's closing the gap a little bit, I think.
He is. If he wins the title, maybe that evens things out a little bit. But she's just got a lot of notoriety from Dancing with the Stars. So I think it was Sports Illustrated, you know, their Instagram page, the, what's it called? Members only, fighters only, or fans only, only fans.
Only fans.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think she probably cashes the bigger checks, maybe. I don't know. I don't know their finances. And he seems to be fine with it. That's what makes him so cool in a way, is that he's not pushing back on it. I don't think he cares. He's secure. He's confident, and he's handling things quietly. Now he's going to fight for a world title. And if he wins, that's awesome. But I would hope that she would be happy for him in that regard. Be happy that the two of them are having success, so that when one's down, the other one is up. Hopefully at one point they can both be up, but you can't fight forever. And marriage definitely can take you into your 70s and 80s. Fighting can only take you up until what, your 40s. Some people get past that, you know, but I think she should start focusing more on just what she has in front of her. And that's a dude that seems to be okay with her success. Back him. You know who did it really nice, goes? I got to tip my hat. Pat Barry. Pat Barry fought. I think he probably finished with a record similar to like maybe 18-12, 16-12, 16-10. I don't know. So what I'm trying to say is it wasn't the greatest record ever. He had exciting fights. But I remember he said, man, I'm done. It's time for me to retire and concentrate on Mama Bear. I remember he said that. And he's in her corner, and he's so happy. And I don't know. It's not they do many interviews, but I don't get this feeling where he's doing the old, I scored 4 touchdowns in high school. Where's my Polk High jersey? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's just – you would never even know that he was a fighter. He's basically her coach and her biggest fan, and I think that's outstanding.
The sad thing in all this for me is – this is just an isolated incident, right? It's high profile because it's Paige Van Zandt. But when you think about how many people are involved in mixed martial arts and how many people have probably felt a similar way to Paige Van Zandt, that number is probably pretty big. And I don't know that there's anything in mixed martial arts right now that's serving that cause, that purpose, other than picking up the phone and talking to somebody that maybe is in your same boat before, you know. And we've seen that. Well, you got that big UFC PI, right? If you're going to have therapists and nurses or whatever the hell they have there, there probably should be a room where at any time somebody can walk in and talk to a professional.
Well, there are sports psychologists, but when I hear of sports psychologists, it's usually followed by, and he had me picture winning and throwing punches. And like, they're not talking about the mental side that you're talking about, like depression and the dark day. They're talking more about performance as an athlete.
It can tie in, you know, because if you're already carrying that it's more like performance based, right? So the athlete's trying to figure out, how can I get my best performance? And the doctor's trying to figure out, all right, well, what's holding you back? You know, is it fear? Some people will say, yeah, it's the fear of looking stupid on national television, or it's the fear of getting hit or whatever, and that person will help you get through those things. But in this particular case, I don't know that Paige Van Zandt is saying that she has any performance issues. It's what's coming from the losses, those feelings afterwards that she has to be able to figure out how to deal with. That would be more towards a different doctor to touch on that, and then a sport. I think a sports psychologist can tie things in for her, but I think she's past that.
Let's finish up with Jake Paul. You said you get a kick out of this guy. You're a fan. You're going to tune into him versus Woodley. First of all, who are you rooting for? I know you're a fan of Jake Paul, but I think you've always been a fan of Tyron Woodley. So who are you going to be rooting for that night?
Tyron Woodley. I'm an MMA guy. I don't want to see our guys getting smashed, especially by somebody that doesn't have that much experience like Jake Paul. I don't know if I'm a fan of Jake. I mean, I like Jake Paul. I thought he was a tool. When we first came on the scene, I thought, this guy's a tool. But I respect Jake Paul because when it's all said and done, that dude still shows up to the gym every day and tries to get better and takes it serious. Yeah. He's not just cashing a paycheck. Like, whatever he gets paid, you can't really hate on it because he earns it. He earns that paycheck. And I can't hate him for that.
Yeah, I would agree. He won me over in that regard. I still want Woodley to kick his ass. Yeah, that's basically it. I want Woodley to kick his ass. But I still want Jake Paul to continue boxing, you know. And he revealed a hit list. Did you see the 13 names that he revealed? Or are you familiar with that?
Yeah, the last one was his brother. Okay. The question mark on it.
I really thought they disliked each other, but when I saw that vlog leading up to Logan Paul versus Floyd and they were on the same plane, and it just looked like a big brother thinks his little brother's a little wacko, but it doesn't look like he dislikes him or doesn't love him. And I think if they did it, I think it would just be a hard sparring match. I don't think it would be that fight that we look for. Now, the Lazon brothers, they've actually thrown missiles, man, at their faces, like bare knuckles at their faces. Those guys are wired differently. And I think it comes from the Danny side. I don't think Joe likes to do it. I think it just comes from Danny's side. He's just a mean SOB. And maybe these two guys would do it like with bare knuckle as well, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like both guys are big successes outside of boxing, and now they're doing something with their boxing, and that's that. And it doesn't seem like there's a jealousy or nothing like that. I kind of like it. I kind of like that dynamic. I'd rather not see them fight. I think there's a lot of people for them to fight, you know, separately, whether it's far-fetched as Conor McGregor, you know, in a boxing match, to your own brother, to an actor, to an athlete, whatever it is, keep doing your thing. And maybe Jake Paul's best thing is to just stay away from actual pro boxers and just enjoy this ride.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, but he's smart. That's a list, and I get it. And I can see some of those names actually happening. You know, like one of the Diaz brothers. I could see one of those happening. It all just depends, like the trajectory of what they want to do. Woodley can completely change that in a second. You know, and he can pivot. That's the thing. He has the ability to pivot. All right, well, I won't fight any more MMA guys. Now I'm going to focus on about a WWE wrestler, a popular WWE guy. Give me that. And then that entire audience is going to tune in for that. Or how about another YouTuber? I'll tune into that, right? Like, that kid is bulletproof. He could pivot to just about anything he wants.
Yeah. I'm trying to get his list of names here. My internet's a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are. Ah, shit. Hold on.
You want me to pull it up?
Oh, wait. Yeah, please pull it up.
All right, so he has Nate Robinson, check. You already fought him, right? That's what it says.
Yeah.
Ben Askren, check. You already fought him. Now he's got Tyron Woodley ahead of him. Another name he's got on there is Canelo Alvarez.
That's great.
Yeah, don't ever do that. Nate or Nick Diaz, I could definitely see that happening. And I actually think he would have a good shot at fighting one of those type of guys. Kamaru Usman, I wouldn't do that. Tommy Fury, I probably wouldn't do that either. He's a young boxer, but he is a boxer. He's a trained boxer. He's got more experience. Conor McGregor, I don't think that that'll ever get to that point where that can happen. But if it did, it'd be pretty damn epic. KSI, who I think his brother fought, right?
His brother fought.
Yeah. Gervonta Davis, that's not good yet. And then the last one is his brother, Logan Paul.
Yeah, that would be a bad decision, Gervonta Davis. All right. I think McGregor and the Diaz brothers is what he should focus on personally.
I would have thrown in a WWE guy. Someone in there.
Yeah. Stay away from the boxers unless it's someone older. I mean, like, Mayweather was worth it, honestly, for Logan. He probably made a lot of money, and Mayweather just doesn't have heavy hands. So if you can survive, you know, you saw how Jake Paul was going nuts over his brother just surviving. You almost thought that he would have thought that he was winning the fight. But that was a win to just go in there and survive that long. And Mayweather, he'll carry you, but he'll carry you because he also knows he just doesn't have that power. He's older. These kids are big, man. These guys are like six-footers, you know. So I would stay away from almost all of them with the exception of that guy. And Pacquiao is probably even smaller than Mayweather, but I'd stay away from Pacquiao. I think he'll break your head, you know what I mean? Even though he's older, he throws hard with both hands and he wants to end you.
Mm-hmm.
Sean O'Malley, by the way, Sean O'Malley, before we close, sorry. He's saying, as long as I'm in this contract, my conscience isn't guilty about taking lesser known fighters or fighters that are ranked below me. You're paying me the same anyway. Once I get into my new contract, let's go bring on the ranked opponents. You know, I don't mind the strategy. I just don't think he should have been vocal about it. Not with this promotion that kind of tends to hold on to those types of feelings, those harsh feelings, and reciprocate it your way. You know what I mean? I thought that's something you save for the book. Or once you're successful and you hold the cards, then maybe you can start being a little bit more open. But look at Francis Ngannou. He's the baddest man on the planet. Super exciting. 5 straight amazing KOs, including being the best heavyweight of all time. And he's probably walking on eggshells a little bit. So it just goes to show you, like, it's probably not the best play.
It's not. He was vocal about Sean Shelby. He's had his things here and there. I don't know that it's his decision. Like, I don't think he's the guy that's saying, oh, I don't want a ranked opponent. I think the UFC's throwing these guys. He's just agreeing to it. You know what I mean? And I think he's saying, I don't feel bad about agreeing to it. But I don't think for a second that it's the UFC that's picking these opponents. They're the ones that are saying it. The fans are upset that he's not saying, no, give me that guy instead. He's just saying, I don't have a problem taking these opponents.
Yeah. I don't know. MMA, God bless the ones that lasted 20 years. I just don't think that's going to happen as much now. I think you have like this solid 5-year window where you're at your peak. And there's 2.5 years before and 2.5 years after. So you can have about a 10-year career. The first 2.5 years, you're just kind of like Dana White Contender Series, this guy, that girl, or whatever, you know. And then you get that test. You finally get your test. I think for Conor McGregor, it was Dennis Siver when we went like, okay, that's a step up. And then it was Poirier. We go, shit, now we're talking. And then after that, every fight's tough, you know. And then once you lose your titles – and you're no longer the man or the woman, then you still get the benefit of, well, let's match these two aging stars or these two former champs or the loser leave town, the loser leave promotion type of matchups. You have a little bit of a lifeline there. And then after that, you go to Triller or Bare Knuckle or whatever, you know, start doing what you do. I think that's going to be like the norm. And I think that's where Sean O'Malley might be making a mistake. He's had a couple serious injuries. And I'm telling you, MMA, you just don't know how nasty it is, man. someone takes you out and all of a sudden you're out and that's that. And the UFC now focuses on that person. In fact, Paige VanZant's a pretty good example. Paige VanZant should have been very, very popular, a strawweight that they should have maybe built, but they kind of threw her in the deep end. And now like the UFC has nothing to do with her and the UFC's not looking back because UFC's a train, dude. They're a locomotive. But anyway, interesting stuff there. All of it available for you at MMA Junkie. Check it out. Goz and I are reach out at us on our social media. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goz is at the Goz, and the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. Our show's published Mondays and Thursdays on the website at MMA Junkie. So check it out. You'll see us there on Mondays and Thursdays with links to where you can grab us, including Omni, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a lot of our work that we do with the fighters where we interview them. You can check it out at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Folks, thanks for spending 60 minutes with us. We really enjoyed our time here with you guys. We'll see you all on Thursday. Until then, go out there and be a champion.